Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Colombo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Colombo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles and the Justice Club, because we are trying to make sure there is more justice in the world than we are experiencing today. So sometimes we have a part two, like we will today. On part two, we will talk about an injustice against children, and that will be on part two, the Justice Club. But I have an exciting returning guest today, and I'm so excited. I always enjoy listening to Robert Al Dillon-Schneider, and his best friends call him Bob. And he wrote the book, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. So he's only going to be with us for 30 minutes today because he's very, very busy. So we're very, very lucky to have him on our show. Do you want to achieve your goals in these challenging times? Because we are living in very challenging times. Then if so, you are in the right place at the right time. We have this dynamic guest, and he is probably, you are probably familiar with his name. He is a influencer, and he influences and provides information to CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and celebrities, families, and average citizens as well, who are seeking to gain more knowledge on how to create a business and their American dream and leave their legacy behind. Robert L. Dillon-Schneider achieved his goal through hard work, and he climbed the ladder to success, and he reached his American dream, and he is here today to share his popular bestseller book, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. And as you know, it is not easy in this challenging times where there's outsourcing, globalism, and civil unrest around the world, and it's very and lockdowns with the pandemic, so it does affect our success in the world of business or jobs, especially small businesses, which are 85% of companies who put people to work in the USA. Isn't that amazing? That 85% of workers are working for the small business CEO of their company. And so let me tell you a little bit about Robert L. Dillon-Schneider. He is located in several places. His business, it is the Dillon-Schneider Group. And he formed the Dillon-Schneider Group in October of 1991. And he headquartered in New York, Chicago, and Miami with 34 offices around the world. The firm provides strategic advice and counsel to Fortune 500 companies and leading families and individuals with experience in mergers, acquisitions, crisis communications, marketing, government affairs, international media. Prior to forming his own firm, Dillon-Schneider served as president and chief executive officer of Heal & Knowlton, Inc. from 1986 to 1991. He tripled that firm's revenues to nearly $200 million and delivered more than $30 million in profit. He was with that organization for nearly 25 years, and he started in public relations in 1967 in New York. Shortly after receiving the MA in journalism from the Ohio State University and a BA from the University of Notre Dame. Hopefully he will be calling in a little bit, and we will be talking to him about this fantastic book, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, Everything You Need to Know. And on that note, I'm going to take a little break, and I will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite for that home-cooked meal. And also I want to tell you about my latest book that's very popular, actually being considered from book to film adaptation. So if you want to say a little prayer for me that that happens, I would appreciate it. It is actually what I say is not just a book. It is a message for humanity's survival. And it has funny pictures, and it is a historical, fictional, political satire, and it could turn into, if successful enough, and I'm successful enough to make it happen, along with those seeking the information about book-to-film adaptation for a movie or a series, it would be a dystopian thriller as well. And a lot of us love dystopian thrillers and futuristic and sci-fi and what could possibly happen. Remember that we are living in very challenging times, and humanity is being threatened, our very survival. And during history in ancient times and beginning in ancient times forward, not only did the dinosaurs become depopulated and possibly made extinct, also there are tribes of people from the beginning of time who became extinct because they created villages, and then barbarians went in and they burned down the villages, they killed the men, and they kidnapped the women and children, them into their villages as slaves. And that is still happening today. Think about that. We are witnessing and experiencing and reading about our open borders with traffickers coming through and bringing human slaves, human beings to be slaves in different areas of crime. Against those victims, and it's very serious. So are we repeating history? That is a question I'm wondering myself. So this book, Obamasaurus, is the legend of how the Judeo-Christian dinosaur nation was depopulated or made extinct. And think about it, because today we have artificial intelligence, AI, and AI, artificial intelligence, are robots. And some people, well, many people who are very wealthy and involved in this sci-fi program, which isn't so sci-fi anymore. It's becoming reality as predicted, where these robots are going to replace human beings. Well, if you think about it, robots do not wear clothing. They don't drink water. They don't drink soft drinks or juice. They don't drink any healthy foods, protein drinks, et cetera. And they also don't eat food. So they don't need clothing. And so imagine all these industries that robots could put out of business or eliminate millions and millions of jobs if this were to happen in the food industry, in the supply of water, in the clothing industry, the shoe industry, if the population was depopulated. And then what if these AI robots got so advanced with so much intelligence that they began to war against the humans who survived all of this disruption and civil unrest and chaos and crisis, death and destruction. So it's really more than just a message. And I wrote this book for this time in history. And here we go.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right. It's available. You can order it from your bookstore, Barnes and Noble, or you can actually go online and Google Amazon, type in books, and write in Obamasaurus, and gift it to your friends and your family as a wake-up call. Empower them, enlighten them, because that's what we're here to do, is empower and enlighten people.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts right after this important message. So don't go away.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're on Colombo Chronicles Live. Our guest is having a little trouble getting away from a meeting. And hopefully he will be able to call in a little bit. And we will talk about his fantastic book, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. And, you know, sometimes in the media, things happen. People get stuck in meetings or on emergencies, or we have technical problems. All kinds of things could happen when you're live on the air. And so just, you know, You got to be able to do what you have to do. And let me, one second here, let me check the studio board here. Yeah, he's still having a little bit of trouble getting away from his meeting. But we'll stand by and hopefully hear from him very soon. So what I wanted to talk to you about today, too, would have been on part two. And it's about parental rights being denied under the United Nations. And now it seems as if the federal government has jumped on board. Now, I don't know if you have ever heard about the rights of the child. Hillary Clinton, when she was in office, was one of the big supporters of the rights of the child. The United Nations has been pushing this for many, many years. And the rights of the child takes away parental rights from parents. And when you go into court in America, and in the family law court, and you are going through a divorce and a custody battle and a property settlement, those are all three different, they've created three different issues for people who file for divorce with the courts. As a longtime consumer advocate for justice who has consulted with hundreds of people around this nation, who are going through divorce and custody battles and having issues with the court system in the family law courts, even if they had a lawyer, there were a lot of injustices happening and are still happening today. And it's very serious because you can lose custody of your children just for filing divorce. Social services can come in and say, well, until this divorce is finalized and a judge makes a decision, we're going to take your children and put them in under the state supervision or in foster care. And usually, 99.9% of the time, the judge will not challenge social services or question them, and he will allow that to happen. Until they say there will be reunification. The problem is that many times there is no reunification with the parents. So when you go into family law court, the judge or social services can take away your parental rights. Now think about that for a minute. You were a great parent before you walked into the court system. And after filing for a divorce, suddenly you are no longer that great parent. You can now be cry in court, or you speak out, or you're upset. You can be labeled mentally disturbed, or you just don't like the judge's decision, or you just have a vendetta against the other spouse because maybe the judge gave them custody for whatever reason. So these are parental rights that have been slowly been taken away from the parents in America by entering into the family law courts and filing for divorce. Now, it doesn't always happen, but it's quite prevalent, actually. And I am very familiar with it because I also wrote the book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, which won the International Irwin Award. And I am the only author in 46 years to have won two International Irwin Awards for two books from the Book Club of Southern California that's been in operation for about 46 years. So there's only been two authors who won two of those awards each. And only that can cause issues within an organization, but it did happen to two of us. We were fortunate that two of our books were recognized for that international award. So that book was a self-help book, and you can look for Fight Back Legal Abuse 2 coming in 2024. And I may re-edit the first version, Fight Back Legal Abuse, because it was so popular, viral online. It ended up in local and major national radio shows. It ended up in the news, major local newspapers. It ended up in the veterans newspaper. It ended up in the Daily Journal for Lawyers and Judges, featuring me and my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse. And it was a real eye-opener, and people who were lawyers or even college professors said I should submit it to the universities and colleges at that time. So maybe I'll do that with version two, being in version one being edited and republishing it. So it is a self-help book. And in that book, I talk about parental rights and how the parental rights are being denied to parents through the family law courts, through social services. There was a senator. Her name was Senator Nancy Schaefer. And Senator Nancy Schaefer, at the time that I was leading a grassroots movement in America and a mover and a shaker, going up against this giant system like President Trump is experiencing today, it can be quite challenging, let's say, quite challenging to stay alive or stay out of jail or not be accused of things that you're not guilty of, and all kinds of stuff can happen to you if you're a whistleblower or you're exposing injustices and legal abuses in the system. They don't like that. But somebody has to do it, right? And so I was naive at the time. I had no clue that this would be deeper than I imagined. So, but I've learned a lot of not even knowing how deep it really is, and I don't really want to know because it's quite shocking. And so this is why I'm telling you about the parental rights being violated through the United Nations Rights of the Child, where the state will take control of your children. And that's what happens in family law court if they decide to take your children away from you for filing divorce or for someone making allegations against you that you're a child abuser, and suddenly there's a knock on your door. This happens. And this is what Senator Nancy Schaefer was also talking about. When she did a scathing report and went national and spoke out, 2 weeks later, she and her husband were found dead in their beds, shot to death. And they called it a double suicide under suspicious circumstances. Well, the reason that it was so shocking to the system is because she flat out came out and said that there were certain social workers in our country who were taking bribes for kids. So there were people who were paying social workers under the table to knock on someone's door and say they were accused of child abuse, even if they were totally innocent. But I guess somebody had their eye on those particular children, and they would take the police and as their witnesses and protectors, and the children away. And the parents are dumbfounded, in shock, traumatized, and the children are traumatized that here they are, maybe eating popcorn and watching television, and suddenly their whole lives are turned upside down, and they are separated from their own children who they may never see again. So Senator Nancy Schaefer took the risk of exposing that to the nation, and 2 weeks later she and her husband were in bed sleeping, according to the news, and found dead by gunshot wounds under suspicious circumstances. But we never heard about what were the suspicious circumstances, or was anything ever found out that they were murdered rather than a double suicide. So someone who is that powerful and that bold is not going to commit suicide, in my opinion. So anyway, that happened. And then we have the Epstein case that was probably going on for about 40 years, and the Department of Justice and the entire government ignored it. And they just ignored it. And they maybe were, I don't know, allegedly there were some taking bribes, perhaps, the specific social workers who Senator Nancy Schaefer were taking bribes for kids. And so now we have the Franklin cover-up, and I interviewed Senator John DeCamp. He flew out here to meet me when I was leading this grassroots movement and the founder of Women Fight Back for Legal Justice in America. There's very little justice in the world, I want you to know, so you need to know as much as you can about the system and how it doesn't work for all people, but for some people. That's S-U-M with the dollar sign and S-O-M-E, because that's chapter 10 in my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse. The chapter name is Justice for Some, S-U-M with the dollar sign, and some, S-O-M-E. There is not justice for all. That is a beautiful concept. It's a beautiful American concept. It's a beautiful dream. It's a beautiful illusion. But it is an illusion. This is an illusion. In fact, justice is an illusion. It is an indoctrination from the time you're a child to trust the justice system. But can you trust the justice system? Can you trust every judge you know nothing about who sits on a high leather chair with a black robe and a gavel that he can pound down and tell you you're going to jail or your life is over? You'll spend the rest of your life in jail for making a mistake, or you are going to end up in getting a lethal injection. Or you must get a mandated experimental jab, and maybe not one, maybe for the rest of your life, get jabbed. So who are these people? They're just people who are being paid with our tax dollars, and they swear to uphold the law, defend the United States Constitution, and many do, and many don't. And so you don't know who you are going to be standing before. You don't know if it's the judge who has good character, integrity, principles, and upholds, defends, and protects the law and protects people in pro per who cannot defend themselves because they can't afford a lawyer. You don't know if you are going to be up in front of a judge who's a hanging judge or a liberal political activist judge. They make their own laws. They make their own rules. They do their own sentencing. And they could be basing that on the color of your skin, your ethnicity, your appearance, the way you dress, the way you speak. Maybe you remind them of their ex-wife or ex-husband, and if they don't like, maybe they got up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe you're wasting their time and they want to go golf or whatever. So you just don't know who that judge is, do you? Nobody does. And who monitors them and whoever reports on their decisions? Where are the watchdogs? Because less than 1% of all judges in the United States are ever removed from the bench, no matter what they do to you, the victims. So I think what we need to do is we need to organization, perhaps, of watchdogs who report on good judges. And then you can always have an award for a kangaroo court and name that judge on that certificate as the kangaroo court of the year. Perhaps you could do that. But you should get proactive and do something because you're losing your rights to your children. And they are indoctrinating your children in public schools and all schools, basically. Why are they indoctrinating your children? Well, I don't know. It appears that it could be for depopulation programs. What do you think about that? Could it be for depopulation programs and reducing the population for the future, because there are people who are extremely wealthy who want to replace people, humans, with robots. And they're doing it right now. Many people are being replaced with robots. And so what will children be doing if they survive and there are no jobs? What will they be doing when there's no schools, because they're going to tell them to, everything they learn is going to be from the computer, from AI, so you don't have to think. You just have to ask a question and push the button, and it'll answer for you, and it will be probably rewritten history and an upside-down world. Because it's all going to be nothing more than propaganda and indoctrination of what those who control AI want those kids, if they survive, to know. Think about that. There's no exercise anymore. They have them so addicted to the computers, to their video games. They're hidden and isolated in their bedrooms, shooting fictional characters of soldiers or police on these video games, on their cell phones, on their computers, attention to the school teachers, and they're definitely not paying attention to their parents. They're not paying attention to what is going on around them, because they are addicted and mesmerized by these video games over the past 20 years or more. And we are seeing what is happening with all these attacks against the police and against innocent people. Where did that mindset come from? It didn't come from the past, the Leave It to Beaver years. It did not. It was seeped into the schools starting in the 80s, when they decided they were going to accuse parents of child abuse if they spanked their kids or if they had a little bruise on them. And that was the beginning of taking away your children, because teachers were ordered to report the parents of that child to the principal, who was then to call the police. And in the meantime, Halliburton and Bush and Cheney were using money, to taxpayer money, to build private prisons and private juvenile facilities. and accusing children, little boys, of being too aggressive and active if they pull the pigtails of some other little girl, of a little girl, and call the police. And then the police would take the little boys to the court, and judges who were getting kickbacks from the juvenile facilities were putting these little kids without parental knowledge into juvenile facilities. Can you imagine the traumatizing that they have done to those kids who are probably now adults? Well, yeah, they would be adults. And then they were also sending them to psychologists who were, or psychiatrists, were putting them on Ritalin. And they grew up to be addicted to drugs. So it's not just illegals who are smuggling in drugs into this country. It is the big pharma, big money, evil ones who are also involved, in my opinion, in this. In this agenda of changing little boys into little girls or getting them addicted to drugs, which started at Ritalin in the 80s and 90s, and then putting hormones in the milk, and little boys and men were starting to develop breasts, feminizing for little boys not to behave as little boys. And the answer was Ritalin, a drug, and hormones in the milk. I believe the chickens, too. I'm not sure. So I'm telling you this because this is a long time coming in America. And in after the war, I believe it was Khrushchev who said they will take us down from within. After they tore down the wall, that they would take us down from within, down America. And they are. And he predicted it, and nobody paid attention, and nobody believed it. But slowly and consistently and quietly, this is exactly what they've been doing. And now we are infiltrated with the Muslim Brotherhood CARE, Communist China, and the CCP, fentanyl they're bringing in and killing off Americans with fentanyl. We have the Chilean organized criminal syndicate here. There's like 350,000 of them or something like that. We have Venezuelan organized criminal syndicate, and they're all sending back money and Mexico's cartels on our borders, and they're all sending back American money back to their countries, to the drug lords and the traffickers and whoever else is in control. So this is a very, very serious, and you need to wake up and you need to read the United Nations Rights of the Child and protect your children from becoming wards of the state rather than you controlling your children, as you see with the mandated experimental jabs. Now, I don't know personally of any constitutional authority that pharma or billionaires who are invested in big pharma and who invest in more and more research on more and more jabs to inject into more and more people worldwide to reduce the population on the first round between 10% and 15%, which would be, 150 million people gone, as predicted by a certain billionaire after the first round of jabs. And this same guy said in the second round, you will, of jabs, when this second virus hit, you will pay attention. That's how bad it's supposed to be. And then he also said, even though the EUA PrEP letter that they, that the new letter that mandated these experimental jabs for 90 days was revised so many times that you wouldn't even recognize it, to so they could continue and continue and continue it until it, because it prohibited children from being minor children, 17 on down, from being jabbed with experimental jabs of chemicals and materials and a secret that was not exposed to the public, was not revealed, which is called the Pfizer trade secret formula. See, people don't even know what materials and chemicals were in those jabs that were injected into their bodies, their children's bodies, pregnant women, and babies. And the government didn't even care because they all made themselves, they all decided they were not liable for any injuries or death, especially Big Pharma. And so this is what happened. And they kept revising it until they reduced it down to 12-year-olds, then 5-year-olds, then babies, then pregnant women that affect the fetus or the unborn baby inside the body, without knowing, as Dr. Fauci said, the consequences of each person and how it would directly affect each individual, because nobody knows how a jab is going to affect them, even if it's FDA licensed, approved. And now we have a lot of children and babies dying from heart attacks and people complaining of paralysis and people complaining of their parents, like my mother, who died after 2 Pfizer jabs from a brain bleeding. And who knows how many, because there's no accurate records. And as time goes by, they're going to not mention the jabs and they're not going to give you the information that really caused someone's death who may have been jabbed twice with experimental injections, where in the past, before this happened, and it's still on the books, in order to have, for the medical profession, to inject any experiment into somebody's body or ingest a prescription drug as an experiment, they had to be people of sound mind who were willing to be used as human lab rats for their experiment. And they had to disclose the potential direct adverse health effects, such as death, to those persons who felt that they were doing something benevolent for mankind. And many who volunteered, even under a sound mind for those experiments, were sorry that they ever did, because some of them suffered greatly from direct adverse health effects, who were healthy people until they were injected or ingested a experimental drug. And if you recall, prior, I don't know, to certain years, the drug companies did not have to tell you the potential direct adverse effects or that it could cause death. But now they do, and they do it so fast that people aren't paying attention. So it's up to you to do your own homework, your own research. And when someone suggests you ingest something into your body or get something jabbed into your arm, you really should do your homework, find out what's in it, and what are the benefits and what are the direct adverse health effects? Is it worth it? So this involved children, and children had no choice, especially in Australia, where they ordered them and mandated them to go to a stadium. Parents weren't allowed, so they could jab their children in Australia with this experimental, with these experimental jabs. Now, the FDA did not approve a license for these jabs because it takes 5 to 25 years to do short and long-term case studies on these prescription drugs or these alleged vaccines. And so what they approved was an experiment for 90 days, but they expanded it. The government expanded it, and CDC and WHO and Big Pharma all expanded it, and HHS, to continue on and on and on and on with no end. Many doctors came along and said, do not inject these into children. They are 99.9% not going to get this. And if they do, they're going to have a 99.9% recovery. But they did it anyway. And it was this billionaire who, when knew that the EUA prep stated that minor children, 17 on down, were prohibited from being used as experimental human lab rats and injected, stated prior to that on national television and online that they were going to plunge a needle into every child's vein. Now, he's not an elected official. He's not a scientist. He's not a doctor. And so that is like, to me, it appears these people who are mandating and discriminating against people asking questions and who didn't want to be a human lab rat and wanted to know, where are the short and long-term case studies? What are the direct adverse health effects? Why are you injecting something that's never been used on human lives before or children? And after you jabbed to all the lab animals, they all died. So why would you go directly to human beings and inject experimental injections into them without disclosing the long, long lists and pages of potential adverse health effects to adults and children, which could also include death. So when you talk about United Nations Rights of a Child, which Hillary Clinton totally supported, and many on the left do, and now it appears that the current regime in office is also promoting this rights of the child worldwide, which means denial of parental rights and the governments take over the rights of the children. This is very serious. And let me explain this to you. Meet the Biden official making six figures to travel the globe pushing transgenderism. So we are paying for this person to do this. And this is on the Daily Wire. The Biden administration has empowered a professional activist to travel the globe on the taxpayer's dime to push transgenderism and gender ideology on minor children. From Australia to Brazil, South Africa to Sweden, Jessica Stern travels around the world on taxpayers' funding, attending a so-called Pride event as the State Department's special envoy to advance the human rights of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, queers, and intersex persons. Stern, who has boasted that she is the highest-ranking lesbian woman, is paid an annual salary of over $180,000 of our tax dollars and tasked with promoting far-left views on sex and gender, lobbying foreign governments, and assisting activist organizations. I want to ask you a question. Is this discrimination against heterosexuals? Is this discrimination against the Bible? Is this discrimination against Christians, Catholics, traditional marriage, traditional families, patriots, constitutionalists, and children? Appointed by President Biden in September of 2021, Stern's work has gone largely unnoticed by the media as she bolsters the president's broader effort to leverage the might of the federal agencies and their bureaucracies in service of a far-left agenda. In Biden's first weeks as president, he tasked all federal agencies to work to advance the human rights of LGBTQ1 plus persons abroad. So this isn't just in America, this is worldwide, especially in the free worlds like Europe, Canada, Mexico. Stern has been the tip of the spear in that effort and has stated that this mission is U.S. foreign policy priority. So where is Congress? Where's Congress? We're supposed to have a conservative Congress. Where are they? They aren't even talking about this. You have to listen to the rogues. Stern's travels as special envoy have taken her to at least 22 countries. Why are we paying to do this in 22 countries to children that have nothing to do with our country? Why are we paying this woman to do this? So, Stern's travels as special envoy have taken her to at least 22 countries on all six of the world's habitable continents, including Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Botswana, Slovenia, Malaysia, Mauritius, Mexico, Nepal, the Netherlands, Panama, Peru, the Philippines, South Africa, Sweden, Switzerland, Thailand, and Vietnam. Good foreign policy is inclusive foreign policy, and that means having senior experts on LGBTQ rights, Stern contended in an interview with the Council on Foreign Relations. So if the Council on Foreign Relations is involved, the United Nations is involved, who is involved, you can bet your bottom dollar on that. And the billionaires who fund them, who fund Dr. Fauci, NIH, CDC, and who, and the United Nations. Stern's primary way of advancing her priorities, which include establishing legal gender recognition, we're talking about genital mutilation here, vulnerability of LGBTQ1 asylum seekers and refugees. What are they talking about? This has been through global travel, which she uses to attend both official government events and local celebrations. Stern attended, where is the heterosexual representative? I want to know. Promoting heterosexualism. Who's promoting traditional marriage? I don't even hear the pastors and the priests and the reverends and all of these do-gooders out there promoting the way that God created humanity, male and female. I saw a lot of kids at Pride parades. They didn't really know what it was about. Of course they don't. They're minor kids, and you're robbing them of their innocence when you're involving them in sexual activity. It used to be called indecent exposure. It used to be called child abuse. We don't even have a Department of Justice any longer who cares about the children, it appears. Gave them a flag, and there were a lot of people playing music, and they got to dance along the street wearing stickers. Stern celebrated. And as I see that as incredibly positive thing, because when we're teaching children a message of acceptance from a very early age, it changes their life. No, it's not their lives you want to change. It's their gender you want to change, Ms. Stern. Stern also traveled to Brazil in January 2024 to take part in the Trans Visibility March, organized by Brazil's National Association of Transvestites and Transsexuals. Stern met with a transgender Brazilian government official who refers to himself as a transvestite. So it goes on and on and on with all the different countries and how they're all joining this woman He's making $180,000 off the American people's taxpayers to change their children's gender and indoctrinate them and confuse them about their gender and create this multi-billion dollar business for the medical profession and big pharma, because these operations also take a lot of drugs, and for China, who builds the medical devices now, like the ventilators and the mask and everything else. This is the destruction of a nation. This is the breaking down what communists believe in on how to take down a country, is by destroying the minds of the children and creating immorality throughout the country. And as we see at the Super Bowl, where they're dancing to Satan and singing to Satan and all of these concerts, and young people are there and children cheering them on and including their parents. It's unbelievable. But that is exactly what's going on. And people need to be very aware of what they are teaching their children and allowing them to participate in, because it can be to lead to the depopulation of the planet. That's exactly what it could do. And the breakdown of morals, the family unit. If you break down the family unit, you're going to break down the morality of a nation, and you're going to break down the infrastructure of a nation. And if you target freedom of speech as a crime in America, then that will happen everywhere around the world, because we are the great republic, one nation under God, who is supposed to operate under the United States Constitution, the laws, in accordance with all the laws. And those laws must contain common sense, decency, fairness, justice for all, and good luck with that, and also morals. Unfortunately, none of that is happening. And unfortunately, we're running out of time. And I don't mean just time on Colombo Chronicles Live. I want to apologize to our guest, the Robert L. Dylan Schneider of the best-selling The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, was unable to join us today due to an emergency. And so it's okay. We'll invite him back. But I am also happy that I got to talk to you about these important issues today. And I want to thank our friend for joining us today on Colombo Chronicles. And also, I want you to do your research and your homework. And I want you to vote for all conservatives if you possibly can. Find that in your heart to save your children and protect your constitutional freedoms, liberties, rights, including freedom of speech, freedom of media and press, assembly and protest, because we are sliding down a cliff, and I don't know if we can still reserve them to take the rights away from our children, our grandchildren, who will never know the real America and what it was like to live in a mostly moral and safe sovereign nation ever again. So God bless you. God bless America. Hope you tune in next Wednesday live for Colombo Chronicles. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember, you are never alone when you tune in to Colombo Chronicles, because I love you and God loves you too.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.